we've done, and the first one is presented by Charlie Hall, Texas A&M.
Thank you very much, Bridget. And welcome to everyone this morning. We're going to focus in on a case study example of some of the eye tracking terminologies and practices that we've been talking about. We're going to specifically look at water conservation. Now, being an economist, I get asked to speak at a lot of different conferences across the country talking about the economy since the Great Recession caused such dramatic interest in that topic. And undoubtedly, I'm asked from time to time, Charlie, what is the most important economic trend that's going to be facing the horticultural industry over the next decade or next two decades? And I'm very quick with the answer. It's very unreserved on my part. I say water. And they look at me like I'm crazy. Well, we asked you about the economy. No, it's water. Water is the greatest economic trend facing the horticultural industry, period, over the next several decades. Because without water, we're actually dead in the water, so to speak. There is no horticulture. And obviously, the media has placed great attention on the lack of water in relative parts of the country, particularly California. And this particular infographic was developed by the California Farm Water Coalition, but it highlights in very clear terms, and that's the neat things about the neat thing about infographics. We horticulturists should be quick to pick up the use of infographics in terms of demonstrating some of our important theories and so forth. But in this infographic, you can I won't go through the whole thing, but you can see the severe economic impact that this has had on the state of California in terms of the loss of jobs and the loss of farm productivity, the loss of crops, etc. Because when it comes down to watering people or watering plants, we're going to elect to water people first. And that's what we've seen in the water going to L.A. and the L.A. municipality rather than the farming country of California. And California has been known for its horticultural production, and yet we have horticultural producers in California who are literally out of water and can't produce. So it's a very important issue. And the reason from an economic standpoint is mainly because of supply and demand. And obviously we don't price water according to what it's really worth. Now, some of us were at the Sealy Summit a couple of weeks ago, and we talked about that issue at length. And the fact of the matter is we view water as a free resource, as a free commodity, as a free public good. And that is very short-lived, that philosophy, because over the next decade, we're going to see pricing mechanisms for water. And as horticultural producers, the question to be asked is, can we still maintain our production levels with half or a quarter of the water that we're accustomed to? And as consumers, I'm segueing to the topic here very quickly. As consumers, will our consumers still desire ornamental crops, even though they don't eat them, they don't wear them, they don't use them for shelter? Will they still desire those crops? And so we're entering to an age of ethical consumerism, where people make buying decisions based off of the environmental externalities, either positive or negative, of products and services. So that leads us to the fact of asking the question of lawn and garden consumers, what is it that their frame of reference about water conservation that influences their likelihood to buy horticultural products? So that's what we were interested in. And of course, as the speakers prior to me in this workshop this morning have talked about the intricacies of eye tracking. When we look at the typical lawn and garden consumer and what influences them to either buy this particular plant or not, there's various cues, and you've heard that word already mentioned, and there's basically two types of cues, intrinsic cues and extrinsic cues. Now, the difference between the two is that intrinsic cues are those that are related to the product itself, those attributes of the product. And as you look at this picture, you might notice the green parts of the leaves. You might notice the label, the pot, and the flat, etc. Well, the pot and the label and the flat are really extrinsic cues they are not really tied to the actual product that the consumer is wanting to buy in this case, and that's the plant. Now, we want to ask ourselves, what's garnering the attention level of the consumer? Now, all of us in grade school have been sitting there in class and the teacher says, pay attention, right? And but attention is influenced, interestingly, by both bottom-up factors and top-down factors. And those bottom-up factors are those things that are kind of low-level cognitive attributes. That is the nature of the product or the thing that we're looking at, and what color is it, what texture is it moving, etc. And then there are top-down factors, which are more higher-level cognitive things that are influencing the purchasing decision. In this case, either the prior experience or the prior knowledge that a consumer has of the product. Were they gardeners before they entered the garden center? Did they garden with their grandparents? Did they have a sentimental attachment to gardening? Those are top-down factors influencing the decision to purchase, along with those bottom-up factors of the product itself. So we're trying to garner attention, and we're trying to measure, through eye-tracking technology, those different attention-getting factors. Now, we had three hypotheses in this particular experiment. The first was those people who make a lot of effort to conserve water will be likely to purchase plants that are grown under water-saving plant production practices. Not that the plants are water-conserving in the landscape, but they're grown by growers in water-conserving methods. All right, so we hypothesize that those who practice or make more effort towards water conservation are going to be more likely to buy those plants that are grown using water-conserving practices. Second hypothesis was that we said people who make a lot of effort to conserve water are going to spend more time viewing signs in the retail display about water conservation. And in the third hypothesis, we said that folks that hail from states like Florida and California and Texas, where we're quite accustomed to drought, are also going to read water conservation signage longer in the retail display. So that's what we were testing. Now, we collected data from all kinds of states around the country. You see some drought-related states and some moderate drought states, and some have a lot of water, as Michigan, as Bridget gave the example of Michigan earlier, you have more than enough water. And by the way, in Texas, we want some of that water. Well, speaking of which, the Great Lakes already have a coalition formed to prevent states like Texas and Oklahoma from piping water down there. So that's, you've kind of protected yourself from that standpoint. Now, we use written surveys and, of course, the eye tracking, and we had to entice folks to participate in the study, so there was a $25 incentive for them to do that. And then we collected information on their plant purchases, their effort that they expended in water conservation, and then the demographics so we could develop some clustering or different consumer segments. And we asked folks, how much effort do you put forth in water conservation, both in your lawn and other plants in the landscape? And we had a very technical breakdown of that effort level. Do you exude a lot of effort, or do you put forth some effort, or no effort, or I don't even have a lawn or plants? So that was the categories. So we went to Dallas. Everybody loves going to Dallas. We went all as research team. We went to Dallas. We had a lot of fun in putting together these retail displays. Much like you see here, we mimicked a typical retail display. And so we were marrying two different methods here. And we built these displays. We picked out the plant material by hand, carried them over to the display. And then we had three blank signs in the middle. And the reason we had those signs blank is that we could digitally alter them and put whatever we wanted on the sign and maintain the congruent, we could keep the display the same during that process. All right, so here's the example, the final slide that we were having people look at, and we were measuring their eye movement or their saccades, the movement of the pupil, And it, by the way, it's the glint within the pupil that we're measuring with the infrared devices. Just a little, that's more knowledge for your tuition dollar this morning. But we're measuring the glint, and it's refracting, or so we're measuring eye movement. And we had three different signs. We had a price-oriented sign, we had a production method sign, and we had the plant category sign there in the middle. And we asked folks, how likely are you to buy something from the display? And we had a 10-point Likert scale, with 10 being, I want that plant right now, and 1 being, I wouldn't buy this in a million years, roughly. All right, then we delineated the areas of interest. And Lynn, you did a very good job in defining those areas of interest. In this case, we had an area of interest around each one of the three signs, because that's what we're trying to measure. And then the rest of one great big area of interest around the foliage and see if what plants they were looking at. So we measured time to first fixation. As Lynn said, that's what captures people's attention first. And then we also measured total visit duration, because that is a proxy measure for cognitive processing that's going on. In other words, the longer we look at something, the more that we're thinking about that particular item that we're looking at, and as soon as we look away from it, that cognitive processing switches to another thought. So we had 344 participants, 307 usable responses. You can see the age and the demographic profiles, more or less our typical lawn and garden consumer. And so we conducted the study, and here are the results. Basically, when we looked on the rows, no effort, some effort, and a lot of effort. Remember, that's the effort that they exuded towards water conservation. And across the top, that mean LTB is likeliness to buy. And then, of course, mean TVD, that's the total visit duration. That's how long they looked at something, how long their attention was held. And then time to fix first fixation was, of course, the first thing that they looked at. And right away, you can, in the red boxes there, you see the points of significance. And for those who expended a lot of effort in water conservation, unsurprisingly, they were more likely to buy plants that were designated as being grown under water conserving practices by the grower. All right, so that signage did resonate with them, and they had a higher likelihood of buying. And then the other two red boxes, we see that the total visit duration was actually higher for those who expended some level of effort. And that came a little bit to a surprise to us, and that we expected those that exuded more effort towards water conservation to pay more attention to the water conservation signage. But that was not the case. It was those who had only expended some effort towards water conservation, they spent the most time on the water conservation signage. And that was also the first group to fixate on the water conservation signage, was those who expended some effort. And we might ask ourselves why, and I'll talk about that in just a second. So hypothesis number one, which we said was those who expend a lot of effort in water conservation are more likely to buy, that was supported. All right, we validated our hypothesis there. But the second hypothesis did not hold up, in that those who exuded more effort spent more time viewing the signage on water conservation, because, as I just said, it was those who only exuded some level of effort. So we theorized that those participants who conserved water may have understood the sign better. So remember, it reflects that the total visit duration reflects the time of cognitive processing. And if I'm already conserving water in my landscape, I don't need a lot of cue there to convince me of that particular factor or that attribute. So, but those who exuded or spent some time, either little or some time, in water conservation, those are the ones that fixated on the signage. All right, now the third hypothesis was also not confirmed, that those from drought areas of the country, we thought they would spend the most time on water conservation signage, and that just was not the case. But again, if you think logically about that, if I'm from Texas and we're in a continuous state of water conservation, and so I needed a little, if as a lawn and garden consumer, I probably need a little information at the retail level to explain to me what water conservation is. Okay, so that hypothesis was not supported. But in conclusion, we do know that signage is very important in terms of conveying those intrinsic and those extrinsic cues. And they garner our attention. And we'll see a little bit later on, it matters also where you place what information in the display, whether it's on the left or on the right. Consumers, we know that who expend a lot of effort to conserve water did not really look at the signs conveying this information as long as those who did. But those who do spend a lot of effort in water conservation were more likely to buy the water conserving plants, or those plants that were grown under water conserving practices. And with that, I have exactly 13 seconds.
So, I have a question.
Thank you very much. Yeah.